Last week, the North Carolina Historical Commission voted to keep three controversial Confederate statues standing at the state capitol in Raleigh. But in a move intended to show compromise, officials signaled a desire to see additional signage with historic facts and context in hopes of appeasing the concerns of those who find tributes to the Confederate slave state out of touch and disrespectful. The vote came in the same week that student protesters at the University of North Carolina's Chapel Hill campus toppled and destroyed Silent Sam, a Confederate monument that had drawn criticism for decades. Dr. Valerie Ann Johnson is a professor of women's studies at Bennett College in Greensboro, North Carolina, chair of the North Carolina African American Heritage Commission, and member of the North Carolina Historical Commission. And Maya Little is a doctoral student and organizer at UNC Chapel Hill. Dr. Johnson, Maya, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. So, Dr. Johnson, give us some backstory here. Confederate monuments have been in the headlines recently, but there's a deeper history in North Carolina. Can you tell me about some of the events that led up to this decision?
Well, we've had a series of questions from the community regarding the continued presence of, on the state capitol grounds, these Confederate monuments, or I call them memorials because they're more rightly memorials rather than monuments, in my opinion. These were memorials set out to inspire fear of whites for people of color, primarily. They were erected in order to remind people that this was white rule. And so, to me, they're objects of white supremacy. And out of that context, and because of what it occurred with the taking down of the Confederate flag in South Carolina and then subsequently the actions in Charlottesville, Governor Roy Cooper rightly asked us to weigh in and really recommend that they be removed. His idea was to remove them and put them in Benton Battlefield, which is not an unreasonable request in my mind.
Okay, so that's some of the backstory. Take us to the resolution that passed last week by the North Carolina Historical Society. What were they trying to do and what was ultimately achieved?
Well, the idea was to, first of all, we had a study committee of five members. I was on the study committee with four other historical commissioners to see whether or not and to weigh in on whether or not the governor had the right to ask our body to remove the statues at Union Square, which is our state capitol grounds. So after the committee met, by consensus, three resolutions were drafted with input from the committee members, and then we voted on those. Again, it was a split decision. It came down to 3-4 leaving the statues in place, and two of us voted to have the statues removed.
So Maya, let's bring you into the conversation. How did you get involved protesting against Confederate monuments? And what does this movement mean to you?
I first got involved when I saw Silent Sam on campus, and I was interested and disgusted by this smirking armed Confederate memorial. When we talk about Silent Sam, there's been movements against Silent Sam since 1968. 50 years later, the statue was taken down. The community took action because our university, our administrators, the state government has not responded, has not taken our safety and our dignity seriously.
What about the UNC leadership and political leaders who say, Maya, that to unlawfully destroy property is not the way to make change?
I mean, I think what's actually unlawful is the fact that administrators and lawmakers ask us to compromise on our humanity, to wait as white supremacists march on our campus, punch students, as happened on Saturday at UNC, are aggressive, make death threats, tell us they're going to hang us from the trees above Silent Sam. And to hear from our administrators and from city officials and state officials, just wait, go through the legal processes, to ask us to compromise on our humanity, to ask us not to defend our community from white supremacy, is, in my eyes, very unlawful and dangerous.
Dr. Johnson, let me let you have the last word. Where do you see this going, and what does recontextualizing mean to you, and how will it happen?
So first of all, I just wanted to give my admiration to Myra Little concerning her actions, and I understand the frustration because people have been waiting a long time for these things to come down, and I do commend the students for taking them upon themselves to force an action, to force an issue. Recontextualization is not really, to me, a possibility in the times that we have right now. And I say it because you can put a small plaque up that would talk about civil rights, maybe, or talk about the enslavement of African Americans, but those statues are large. One of them stands 75 feet high. How do you create an interpretive moment, an interpretive piece around something that large, that imposing on the state capitol grounds? And that is why there has been, and I'm glad Maya brought this up, the continued resistance to these beacons of white supremacy and fascism. So whether or not we can recontextualize them, the attempt will be made. This is not a completed process by any means. We still have a lot of work that needs to be done. And I would rather it be done people working together and working across both sides of the aisle. But as rightly pointed out, I don't see that at this particular time right now. And so this is something that I think will be in contest for quite a long time.
Dr. Johnson, Maya, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Dr. Valerie Ann Johnson is professor of women's studies at Bennett College in Greensboro, North Carolina, chair of the North Carolina African American Heritage Commission, and member of the North Carolina Historical Commission. And Maya Little is a doctoral student and organizer at UNC Chapel Hill. I'm Cindy Rodriguez, sitting in for Tanzina Vega while she's out on vacation, and you're listening to The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.